All right, we're on, as I just said, we're on Daf Kufchet. That's 108A in Psachim. So I'm going to begin five lines from the top. So Rav Sheshet Abiyati B'tanita Kormala Yom Pescha. Rav Sheshet would fast the entire Erev Pesach. The now, in yesterday's Gemara, we discussed what does the Mishnah mean. The Mishnah says that Arvi Psachim Samach L'Mincha Lo Yochal Adam, that on Erev Pesach you can't eat anything Samach L'Mincha. Does Samach L'Mincha mean a half hour before Mincha Ketana, which would be 3 o'clock, or does it mean a half hour before Mincha Gedolah, which would be 12 o'clock? So if it's the 12 o'clock, that would be because of the Korban Pesach. We're afraid you'd get too involved with eating, you'll forget to bring the Korban Pesach. If it's the half hour before Mincha Ketana, it's we're afraid you're going to lose your appetite to eat matzah at night. So we concluded it meant Mincha Ketana, 3 o'clock. Now, the Gemara says, Rav Sheshet Aviyati B'tanita Koma L'Yomad Pescha, that Rav Sheshet would fast the entire Erev Pesach. Name a Kasav Rav Sheshet Samach L'Mincha Gedola Tanan. Should we say that Rav Sheshet held that the Peshat in the Mishnah is Samach L'Mincha Gedola? In other words, it's a half hour before 12:30, and it was at 12 noon that you can't sit down for a meal. And he says, "Umishum pischahu dilma mimshach va'atilim nuim in levad pischahu." So the underlying reason rationale in the Mishnah is that a person shouldn't get too involved with eating and forget to bring the korban pesach. So as an extension of that, so we think that Rav Sheshet held like Rav Oshia, the name Rav Lazar, that Ben Batera holds that if you shech the Korban Pesach in the morning of Erev Pesach, that still counts as a good korban. Still counts as a good korban. Umit safra zman pischahu, and from the morning is already zman pesach. So again, so we're trying to bring a proof for what the pshat in our Mishnah is. We're trying to figure out when the Mishnah says you can't eat a half hour before mincha, and we don't know if it's mincha ketana, mincha gedola, is that because mincha gedola based on the korban pesach, or mincha ketana because you might sort of get stuffed with food and not eat the matzah, with gusto at night. So that was stating the fact that in yesterday's Gemara, we concluded it meant the latter, the half hour before Mincha Ketana. The Gemara brings from this incident Rav Sheshet, it could be a proof that the Peshat is by Mincha Gedola, because why would Rav Sheshet have fasted all of Erev Pesach? So we're thinking the only reason it makes sense that he fasted all of Erev Pesach is because he held like Ben Batera. Ben Batera holds that b'dieved, if a person shechted the Korban Pesach in the morning, he fulfills the mitzvah. And so he wanted to, and even though Rav Sheshet is living after the Korban Abayit, he felt that that was the underlying reason behind it. And so the Gemara says, when we suffer one pischahu, so the Gemara says de kuli alma chazi the pischa. He says de savar bein harbayim bein erev de etmol erev de haidna. So Ben Batera holds it says that you eat the korban pesach bein harbayim. Bein harbayim is a term of art. So we usually think of it as like bein harbayim from beginning in the afternoon till nightfall is bein harbayim. He learned Bein Harbayim means between the two darknesses. In other words, last night it had darkness, and in the morning at dawn it got bright, and this evening will be darkness. So between those two darknesses, he could bring the Korban Pesach. That he thought. So if that's the case, then we would have support that the Peshat in the Mishnah is that it's at the 12 noon, even though he's doing the whole day. So the Gemara says, Amri, lo. So he said in the base medrash, that's not the Peshat. Shani Rav Sheshet to Istinus Havo. That Rav Sheshet was Istinus. He was very delicate. He said, he says, to eat time bit safra midi, the orta lo have a mahani le mechla. If he would have anything to eat in the morning on Erev Pesach, he couldn't eat that evening at the Seder. He wouldn't eat, with pleasure at the Seder. So because of that, so it really supports the other pshat. In other words, the pshat is we're concerned about, being able to eat with gusto at the Seder. Okay, now, remember Rav Sheshet, if you remember, was blind also. All right, now let me just do one or two Tosfos with you, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So let's take a look. Let me take a look. Okay, so let's do the second Tosfos first. So Rav Sheshet Abiyati B'Tanita, Lav Dafka. So Tosfos says it doesn't mean that he was actually fasting. That's the first shot in Tosfos. Ela shomeretz momi le'achol. He was just like watching what he was eating. In other words, like, you know, maybe he might have been drinking a little bit, you know, but he wasn't sitting down to a suda. Inami hayam kabbalav mamash tanit, or perhaps it means that he didn't accept upon himself a fast. So be careful not to eat, not to eat. He says, so Tosu says on that we know that there's a Tanis Bechorim on Erev Pesach, and it's based on Masechet Sofrim, and that's a separate matter. Presumably Rav Sheshet was not a Bechor, I assume. Okay, now let me do one more Tosfos, and then we'll pause. So Neymar, this is the third Tosfos, okay? So Neymar Ksav Rav Sheshet Mishum Pesach. So in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that Rav Sheshet is fasting because of the Pesach. So Tosfos says, V'afagav dehashta leka Pesach, even though now it means the time of Rav Sheshet, there's no Korban Pesach, mikoma koma Isur shebizman abayit lo batel. The Isur, the way the Gemara is thinking, that existed during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it is not terminated. So even Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, who's the source of this issue, that you could check that b'dieved, if you check the Korban Pesach, it's good, he only holds the b'dieved ex post facto. L'chachila, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira says you shouldn't check the Korban Pesach in the morning. Mishum lo tishchal chametz, lo tishchal pesach, v'adayin chametz qiyam, ad sheish sha'od. So you shouldn't check the Korban Pesach when you still have your chametz in the house. So, or you could have chametz in the house. So everybody could have chametz on a din Torah until noon. He says, "V'lo ashkan tana depalig," and we don't see any tana that's cholik with that idea. Mikomakom kevin to the avid kasher sfir lelachmi or shulukomen a boker. Nevertheless, at least in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that since b'dieved it would be kasher for the Korban Pesach, he wanted to be very nizhar about it and be careful that way. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Wouldn't according to what you're saying with Rav Sheshes, isn't there a chiyuv to eat the first?
Wait, I couldn't hear you, Arthur. You, I lost your sound.
You can't hear me now?
Yeah, repeat. You were in the middle of a sentence. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that according to Rav Sheshes, isn't there a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah the first day of Pesach of the first night the sukkah? Wouldn't he have to fast out sukkahs?
So the Gemara, in other words, Rav Sheshet is working off our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells me there's a special Isur on Erev Pesach. You're saying that they should have like a similar Isur on Erev Sukkot, which is not the case, but he's working off this mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So our Mishnah says that because of that, there's a special Isur, or we're trying to figure out what was involved. So the Gemara entertained the possibility that it was because of Korban Pesach. The Gemara says because of matzah. So you want to say that he should fast on?
If it's according to the matzah, then he has to eat it. He should fast of sukkahs too.
Yeah. I don't know if it sounds like it's unique to matzah. Like they want, like the achilas matzah. Like, you know, is in Achinami, there's a mitzvah to have a kizayis of lechem in the sukkah, and it's based on a gzer shava between, you know, chamishasar from chagamatzot. But and it sounds like the Gemara only has this din by matzah. You clearly see it that way. It could be that, you know, maybe matzah, you know, is unique food, and he wanted to have, you know, be in a shape to eat the unique food. We usually don't eat matzah during the rest of the year. Otherwise, I don't know what to say. All right, any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
According to Ben Matera, when would you bring the Tamid Ben Haravayim?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So how would he learn by the...
If he's holding Ben Harbaim, it means from night to the next night.
Yeah. And
would you be able to bring it in the morning? Yeah. Or is it only for Pesach that he holds Ben Harbaim?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to look. You need to look in the Gemara Masechet Zvachim where this comes from. But it's an interesting ha'ara. I'm not sure the answer to that question. All right. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. Now we're We're around 15 lines down, either two dots on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. You have the place, Charles? Charles, you good? You got it? It's around 15 lines down in the Gemara. There's two dots there. That we said even the poorest person among the Jewish people has to do Haseba and has to do, you know, drink the four cups and so forth. So shouldn't eat until he does Haseba. Haseba is reclining until he reclines. So Itmar, Matzah Sarich Haseba. So it was stated that Matzah requires Haseba. In other words, to do the mitzvah of Matzah, I have to do Haseba. I'm leaning on my left side. Maror ain't Sarich Haseba. Maror doesn't require Haseba. And Rashi points out in the sixth or eighth narrow line, Matzah Sarich Haseba Kibnei Chorin, Shuzecher LeGeula. In other words, the matzah is sort of bifurcated. The matzah reminds us of Avdut. They eat the matzah when they were in Egypt, as slaves. But it also reminds us of Cheirut. Remember when they were chased out, and so the bread didn't have time to rise? That's also like freedom, matzah. So matzah represents freedom. So B'nai Chorin, like free people, they recline. That's the way, like, you know, free people eat. He says, but the maror ain't sri chaseba shuzechala abdut, Rashi says. Maror doesn't require haseba. That reminds us of the abdus. So I don't have to do haseba when I consume the maror. Now, back in the Gemara, yayin, itmar mishmeiz Rav Nachman, sar chaseba, itmar mishmeiz Rav Nachman, ain't sri chaseba. So now, when it comes to drinking the four cups of wine, so the Gemara brings down that we have two, what we think sounds like contradictory statements. Rav Nachman says it does require Haseba, and then he says it does not require Haseba. So the Gemara says, Velo Pligi, there's really no machloka between the two statements of Rav Nachman, Habitarti Kasi Kamai, Habitarti Kasi Batroi. One statement is referring to the first two cups, the other statement is referring to the last two cups. So two of the cups require Haseba, two cups do not require Haseba. So the Gemara says, Amri Lola Hagisa, Amri Lola Hagisa. So there's a machlokin in the Gemara. Which of the two cups that require Haseba? Is it the first two or the last two? He says, Amri lo lahai gisa. So one side is tre kase kamai bo Haseba. That the first two cups require Haseba. He says, the hashduhut kamach lo lacherut. Whereas when we have the first two cups, we're reciting the Haggadah and we're relating how our forebears started off as slaves and then were emancipated. So that's speaking about the freedom, the process. So those require a haseba. Trei kase batroi lo bahu haseba, mai dahava haba. Well, we're tying it to the last two. That's you're up to benching already by the third cup. So you've already related the whole thing. Everybody's freed already. It's like water under the bridge, so to speak. It's like in the past. So it doesn't require a haseba. But amri lo lahai gisa. And then the other opinion is punk faker, just the opposite. Adraba, tre kase batroi bo haseba, that the last two cups require haseba. Why? Hahi shaita the kahav yacherut. In other words, that's when you're already free. So when I'm completed the process, that's when I require haseba. That's at cup three and four. Tre kase kamai lo ba haseba, the kati avadim ayinu kamar. We're saying we're slaves in Egypt, this, that, the other. So it's not, and the process hasn't been complete. So the Gemara says, Hashda itmar hachi, bitmar hachi. So now that it's stated this way instead of that way. So we have machloket. Do the first two cups require a seba or the last two cups require a seba? Idi v'idi bau haseba. Or there's another gear to here, which is the if you look at Tosfos has this as well. But the Masor Sashas also, Kulu Nami Ba'u Haseba, that they all require Haseba. So let's go slowly with this. So the Gemara isn't clear which cups require Haseba. Is it the first two or the last two? So the Gemara says, Misafek, we're going to say they all require Haseba. Now we could say it's a Derabanan, right? The mitzvah to have four cups is just a mitzvah Derabanan. So usually we say Sveka Drabban on the Kulam. In other words, the Chamim only Mechayev me to have two cups in Haseba, and I don't know which two to do. So I could say maybe I shouldn't do anything. So he has this in the Art Scroll in footnote 16. He quotes from the Ran. He says that he says here it doesn't involve any inconvenience to have them all b'seba. And then he says, alternatively, if we did all the leaning position, we wouldn't have a mitzvah anymore. So like in other words, if you pursue this line of our reasoning, then you'll eliminate the whole haseba by all the four cups. And that's not something we want to do. All right, now let me just do another two tosfos with you. And then we'll pause, okay? So 1, 2, 3, the fourth tosfos, okay? My dahabahava shikvar amru gulus neya suuda. Now this is going on the tzad that says that you lean for the first two and the last two you don't do. That's what tosfos is going on. He says shikvar amru gulus neya suuda. They recited the redemption before the suuda. That's the way we do it. V'yafa gav dematzisricha seba v'lo amar. So he's asking like this, how come, according to this sad, we're saying that the first two cups require haseba because I'm speaking about the gula, and then I don't require, then it's done already. But then why does matzah require haseba? We said everybody agrees matzah requires haseba. Matzah comes after I'm done with the narrative of the Haggadah. So what does matzah require haseba? How come, according to the sad, why does matzah even require haseba? So shani matzah, she ikar suda yoter miayin. He says matzah is the ikar suda. So I think he's saying it's the cornerstone of the meal, and maybe it gives like the character to the whole night, you know, something like that. He says more than the wine. By wine, he did his seba for the first two cups, so he's like yotze with this already. Also, the Torah explicitly says that the matzah represents the geula. So that being the case, is also an added reason to do his seba by the matzah. And even though it's also called lechem oni, the bread of poverty or affliction, so Tosfos says that when we say we need haseba and matzah, he means that when we're, you know, when we're having matzah at the beginning of the meal, and then when the afikomen is well there. All right, now, wait, let me just say a little bit, and then I'll pause. One minute. All right. So we have a saber with this. All right. Let me pause for a second. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay. All right. Let's see further. All right. Now, let me do one more tosfos. Okay, Michael. We're at the third to last tosfos, Michael. Okay. Welcome. So kulu namitzrichi haseba. So we said that all four cups require haseba because we don't know if it's the first two or the last two. It says v'chol arba kosatzrichim haseba b'shat shtiyah. V'tzarech ion im shachach v'lo haseba minachzor v'yishteh. Tosfos says, let's say you forgot and you drank without haseba. Should you go back and drink again with haseba? He says v'chein im b'kol shlishi lo haseba minachol achzor v'lishtot b'haseba. Or the third cup. Even though we say between cup 3 and 4, normally you shouldn't drink anymore. All right, now, let me get the halacha out here. The Mechaber Paskins. One second. Yeah, so the Mechaber says in Siman Tafayin Beit, Siv Zayin, Kol mi shetzricha seba, any person who is required to haseba, and we'll see there are some people that don't have to do it, if he ate or drank below haseba, lo yatsa, he's not yotze the mitzvah, he says, he's got to go back and eat or drink with haseba, the Mechaber says. Now, then the Ramah says, someone is saying, the sheet of the Rav Yah is, that today nobody has to do haseba. The Rav Yah holds that since, in other words, they, in their time, people would, that's the way they would recline. And when they would eat, they would recline when they eat. Today, nobody does that. So he holds nobody has to do haseba. So we don't rely on that. But b'dieved, the Ramah says, someone to say you could rely on it. Venerally, the Ramah says, im lo shata koshlishi, or aviv haseba, Ein lachzor v'lishtot be'aseba. He says the ishba chashash nira kamo sifal akosot. He says if you would repeat the third cup or the fourth cup, you shouldn't go back because you look mostly fell a kosot. I was saying kosot rishon yachzorv yishteh below bracha, but the first two cups, that you should go back and drink it with without a bracha. And he says v'chein b'achilat matzah, and similarly by matzah, you should also go back and eat the matzah. V'chil yasev kol asuda. Now the Ramah says that l'chachil you should do a seba during the whole meal. And the Mishnah says, but David, you're okay with that. I think the post can say that today we don't eat the meal behaseba. I don't think. Does anybody, what do you want to say, Fern?
Why is it mosif if you would go back and redo three and four, but it's not mosif?
Yeah.
If you go back and do one and two.
Yeah. So the Gemara is going to learn, like, it's actually, we have the top of our Amud. You see Kuf Chedman off the top line? It says, like between the first and second cup, you're allowed to drink. You're allowed to have extra cups between the first and second cup. And then between the second and third vadai, that's during the meal. So if you have another cup, it's not near a kemosif el kosot. But between the third and fourth cup, you're not allowed to, and certainly after the fourth cup, you're not allowed to have additional cups of wine. So if you have an additional cup of wine, it looks like you're mosif on the on the mitzvah.
But my question is, why are you not mosif and why are you allowed to? The first line just buttresses my question. Why does it not appear that you're mosif on the koso between one and two or one and three?
Yeah. He says the cups of wine. It says here, like it enhances your appetite when you drink the wine. So you're allowed to have wine ahead of time, so you'll be more hungry and eager to have it. But then afterwards, not. That's all I have with that. All right. Now, he mentions here, if you look in footnote one of the art scroll, he mentions the Yerushalmi says, like, we're afraid the prohibiting of between the third and fourth cup, you're afraid to become drunk and you won't be able to recite Hallel. But anyway, but the point is that since there's an Isur between those third and fourth cup, if you have additional cups, looks like you're mostly on the Kosot. Okay, who's had other questions, comments, thoughts? Anybody else?
Yeah, according to the opinion that we don't have to lean today, why don't we say Suffix Safika and we don't have to lean at all? It's Suffix if you have to lean for first, second, third, or fourth, and Suffix you don't have to lean at all.
Yeah, so the first side, that was the issue we addressed before. In other words, we said that we don't know if it's the first or the second. So that alone by itself, we could have said not to lean at all. But then the Ron says that we're rejecting. In other words, to those sfeikot we're going to eliminate. In other words, not eliminate, but the fact that I don't know if it's the first or the second, otherwise we wouldn't have a mitzvah. So assuming that's a given, now I'm leaning for all four. So then we have the sheet of the Rav Yah. So the Rav Yah just has his shita, but it's a shita's yachid. But we only rely on it. But yeah, but all right. Let me.
What's the rationale for not having to lean anymore?
The Rav Yah says that in the ancient times people would lean over, and there was like that's the way Ben Chorin, like people, free people, they would have a meal, they would do haseba. Today we don't do that anymore. In the time the Rav Yah was a Rishon, they already didn't do it. So he said that circumstances have changed, and Mamela, we don't have to do it anymore, according to the Rav Yah.
But isn't the whole premise of the Haggadah to retell the whole story?
That's
so
true.
So right? If you're retelling the story and we were slaves then, wouldn't leaning be consistent with that idea? You're leaning because you're retelling the story that we were slaves.
No, what I'm losing it.
Then it would be inconsistent.
Slaves don't lean. It would be opposite.
No. But according to the Gemara that I have here, Steinsaltz, the explanation for why we're leaning is to show that we were free people.
Right, so but
we're telling.
In other words, like free people recline at a table. If you're a Ben Chorin, you recline when you eat. But that was true in the ancient world. It's not true today. Do you go to the restaurant and recline when you have dinner? Do you eat recline when you have
dinner? Yeah, but we're talking about a specific meal. We're talking about the Seder.
No. In other words, it's saying that that's the derech. That's how Ben Chorin behaved. That's the way a free person behaves. So today the Rav Yoss says we don't do it that way. So why should we do it on Leil Seder? But that's one shita, but we don't rely on the Rav Yoss. All right. But if b'dieved the Rama wants to say that you had it, there's a svar to say that if b'dieved, if you had it, and for some reason you can't repeat it over, then maybe you can rely on the Rav Yoss. All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. Let's all focus. Okay, so we're at near the small Dalet, around 10, 12 lines from the bottom. Okay, Prakta Lashma Heseba. Prakta means if a person's lying on his back with his face facing the ceiling, that's not called Heseba, right? Heseba is leaning to your left, not like on your back. He says, Hesebet Yamin Lashma Heseba. Leaning to the right is not considered to be Heseba. So, the below O at Elishem Yachtin Kana Leveshet, Yavoli De Sakana. Now, leaning to the right is not considered Haseba because we assume that people are righties. And so if a person's leaning to the right, they can't use the right hand. Like you want to use your dominant hand when you're eating. So that's not called Haseba. Now, if you look at the Rashbam in the second wide line, he says, Shrebi Mino Husarich Lechol. Now, Shema Yachtin. So Rashi learns Shema Yachtim. Now, the second reason the Gemara gives is we're afraid Shema Yachtim Kana Leveshet, that the food may go down the trachea instead of the esophagus. So Rashi, and the Rashbam quotes this, learns it's talking about on the first case. So we had two cases. First, the person, in other words, Proctan, leaning on my back is not called Haseba. So Rashi learns the part about Shema Yachtim Kana Leveshet, that relates to leaning on your back. In other words, if I'm leaning on my back and eating, I may come to choke. That's the way Rashi learns. But the Rashbam learns it's the second case because it doesn't fit in, right? In other words, the way Rashi's learning, it should say, Praktan lo shmei haseba, and then shem yachtim kan leveshet. Haseba yamin lo shmei haseba. Below od al shem yachtim kan leveshet, yavoli de sakana, the Rashbam learns it's talking about a person leaning on his right side. Let's see, and then we'll hear from our medical expert shortly. The second wide line in the Gemara, in the Rashbam, rather, the second wide line in the Rashbam downstairs. Shemiyaktim apraktan koi, shemitosh savarosho chelach rav, since his neck is bent behind him, or shipuakova hasotem et piakana niftach mit kapel lamala. He says the flap that covers the trachea. Is that the epiglottis, Michael? What the epiglottis, right? So the epiglottis, which covers the trachea, is like opened up. So Rashbam first quotes his grandfather. That's what Rashi says. In other words, if I'm leaning back and eating the food, then it's highly possible that I, God forbid, would choke. He says, Bekashali, amaylo samche lahai, below, I hasebet yamin. So if that's the case, why doesn't he put that near the first case about hasebet yamin? Verabotai pirshu shem yachtim kan leveshet deveshet have al tzad yamin. He says that the esophagus is more on the right side. V'niftach hakovashal pi hakanami elav, and then the epiglottis will open up. Kshuhu mate klapi yamin, when he leans over to the right. The food needs to go through the esophagus. So Rashbam prefers that pshat. Let's explain. So the way the Rashbam is learning that leaning on the right side is not called Haseba for two reasons. One is I need to use my right hand to eat. And when I lean over on my right, my right hand is not free. So that's not called Derech Eretz, leaning on the right. Now, according to that pshat, a lefty would lean on his right side, all right? In other words, we lean on our left, but a lefty would lean on his right, so to free up his left hand. That would be according to the first pshat. But the second pshat is saying there's something, you know, more health precarious by leaning on the right more likely to choke. So that trumps everything. So everybody has to lean on their left. All right, let me hear a little bit from my medical expert. Michael, you have anything to say about this? Unmute.
So I was going to send you a picture where the epiglottis is sort of like midline. It doesn't flip and flop and flip and flop. It's not a trap door.
But is
it
there,
moves up and down. And if you're lying on your back, you can very easily aspirate.
And what about if you're leaning? Do you see?
I'm not aware of right or left making any difference here.
All right. Well, anyway, that's the way the halakha is going with the leaning on the
I'll send you a picture.
Does it have to do with blood flow and the heart being on the left?
No.
All right. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts on this? All right. Let's go on now. All right. Now, okay, we're near the small hay. Okay. Okay, Michael, please mute yourself. Okay. So, Isha eats a bala lobaya haseba. A woman who's eating with her husband is not required to do haseba. So, the Vim Isha Kashuva he's Shrika Haseba. She's an important woman. She does require haseba. So, the pshat I'm going to go with is in the sixth wide line of the Rashbam. He quotes from the Shulta de Rabachoi. He says, Lab dar chayav denash in the Mizgah. It's not the derech of women to do haseba, so they're not required to do a haseba. But if she's an Isha Chashuva, a very important woman, then she does require a haseba. Now, one minute, let's get the Shulchan Aruch out.
Simon. So this is making it a
question. Wait, just 1 minute. Okay, 1 minute. So the Mechaber says, Isha in Yisrich haseba, umkein hi Chashuva. And then the Ramah says, V'chol anashim shalom mikri Chashuvot. All of our women are called Chashuvot. So if all of our women are chashuvot, then they should be required to do it. But he says, "Ach lo nagud lasev ki samchu divrei Rav Yah." The Ketav does one and says, "In sarach lasev." They rely on the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah says today nobody needs to do haseba. So women rely on the Rav Yah. That's the way the Ramah says. So 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. So right, all right. So that's the way that goes. Okay, what do you want to say, Fern?
So it sounds like it becomes a matter of class distinction. And that we're acting like big gevir, that we're not only are we chorin, we're luxurious people and we lean.
Well,
and the women are not assigned that status unless they're nashim chashuvot.
That's what the Gemara says about the Isha Chashuva, but then the and then one second. Okay. Yeah, but the Ramah.
I thought you're supposed to feel like a king and do haseba.
All right, we'll see. There are a number of people who don't do haseba. We'll see. This is just more the first. So, but the Ramah says that all of our women are chashuvot, so that they're all chashuv, and so then they should be required to do haseba, but they're relying on the Rav Yoh not to do it. All right. Now,
because from a position of haseva, you can't get up so quickly to serve the guys.
All right. Well, you know, I'll tell you, if you look at the Rashbam in the sixth wide line, his first shot is that she doesn't do haseva, they aim at balo kufalo, that a woman is like, you know, somewhat, I don't know how to say this the right way, but she's, you know.
Subservient. That's how Art Scroll describes her.
All right. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. Now,
good question. What about if you were a slave? If you were an Evet Kanani, Evet Ivri?
It's coming up. Let's just wait just 2 minutes. Okay, but you're on the right path. Okay. Now, Ben Eitzel Aviv by Haseba. Now, a son with his father is required to do Haseba, even though he's kafuf to the father, but it's not kafuf in the same way. And the Rashbam says, he's not so subservient to the father that he can't do Haseba. Now, Ibailahu, Talmid Eitzel Rabo Mai. What about a Talmud with his Rebbe? In other words, here's like another case. In other words, a Talmud owes a certain amount of Yira to the Rebbe. So how does he do this? He corrects on the side, Da'amar Abaye, Ki Havinan Beimar, when we were by Rabba. Rabba is the master. Zagina Nabirke de Hadade. So we lean, we all did a seba, we leaned on each other's knees. He says, Ki Atina on the Bay Rav Yosef. When I came to Rav Yosef's house, Amar Lan lo Srichitu. He said, you don't need to do a seba. Mo Rabba Kamora Shemayim. In other words, the year you have for your Rebbe is like the year you should have for the Ribbono Shalom. So, in other words, So sometimes it's like it's overridden. If you're in a state of yira, you're answerable. So you shouldn't do a seba. All right, Meifei, on this we ask Kasha from the following Brysa. The Brysa says, Imakol Adam may save, feel Talmid Eitzel Rabbo. Everybody does Haseba with everyone, and even a Talmid by his Rebbe. That contradicts what we just said. We say the Talmid by the Rebbe doesn't do Haseba. Kitanya hi b'shul yudinagre. The Gemara says that Brysa is only like a carpenter. In other words, when it says a Talmid with his Rebbe, it doesn't mean a Rebbe for Torah. It means a Rebbe who's apprenticing him to teach him to carpentry. Okay, now, let me do another case. Ibai Lahu, and this is getting closer to what you were speaking about, Pesach David. Shamashmai, what if a person's a waiter at the table? What about him? Does he have to do his seba? So Tashma, da Amar Bishu Ben Levi, Hashamash Achal Kazayit Matzah, Shumesiv Yatzah. He says, Rabbi Shu Ben Levi says, if a Shamash ate a Kazayit Matzah, when he's doing his seba, he's Yotzei, which the Gemara deduces, Mesiv in, Lo Mesiv Lo. That the implication is he's only yotz in the mitzvah. He does a seba, shmamina by a seba shmamina. So from here we deduce that in hachinami the shamish does require a seba. Now 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Now with 1 second. All right, b'nei sa'aviv we got in hashamish. All right, now. All right, now. You would ask me Pesach Tavid about an Eved Kenani. So Eved Ivri Vadai would be like, I think, well, even there, I'd have to look into it. But an Eved Kenani, so I don't know what the din would be with an Eved Kenani. All right, now.
The Eved Ivri in front of his master, isn't he Kafuf?
Yeah, he would be Kafuf. You're right. He would be. I'd have to look into that, though. But you're right. He would be Kafuf. Now, let me just take a look. Let's take a look. On Shamash we did. 1 minute. Oh, yeah, I have this. Here we go. So let me get this out. Let me get the sheet out. One second, what do I do with it? Okay. All right. Okay, now, please everybody mute themselves. Somebody's unmuted here. Ruth, you got to mute yourself. Okay, please mute. Okay, now. All right. Now, we said about the shamash eating it. So, this proof says the Gemara that a servant in the presence of employer is obligated to recline, in contrast to a student who does not recline in the presence of his Rebbe. Now, the Rush deduces from the wording of Rabbi Shimon Levi that if one fails to recline during matzah, he does not fulfill his obligation and must eat another Kzayis matzah while reclining. That's the way the Mechaber Paskin. If I eat it without Haseba, then I have to go back and eat it again with Haseba. The Briska Rav notes that the Rambam seems to have another opinion on this matter, for he never mentions that one who fails to recline during matzah must eat more matzah. So, again, and this is from the Aladaf, the Briska Rav explains that according to the Rush, the mitzvah of Seba is an essential component of the mitzvah of matzah and arbakoso. Therefore, it follows that failure to recline invalidates the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah must be redone. In other words, the Briska Rav is saying that there's machlok between the Rush and the Rambam, how they understand Haseba. Is Haseba a prat in the mitzvah of matzah and a prat, a detail in the mitzvah of matzah and a detail in the mitzvah of drinking? So if I'm missing that prat, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. Is that the pshat? He says, or, and the Rambam writes, although the main time for reclining is during the matzah and the four cups of wine, it is praiseworthy for one to recline throughout the entire meal or at the Seder. The Rambam thus indicates, contrary to the Rush, Seba is not a component of the mitzvah of matzah and arba kosot, rather an independent mitzvah, which is an effect for the entire Seder. Just as the sage is designated matzah and arba kosot as the primary time for the mitzvah of Seba. Therefore, one who fails to perform the mitzvah and does not recline during during matzah, his film of mitzvah and matzah is not affected. In other words, is that this is a detail to be yotzei the mitzvah. So if you don't do all the atmospheres, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Or is the seba like a larger, separate mitzvah, and it's just that it's good to do it during the mitzvah, that's the ikar, the seder, but in Akinami, the mitzvah is throughout the night. So the Briska Rav adds that re-eating the matzah in a reclining position in an attempt to properly fulfill the mitzvah seba will not accomplish anything, meaning, according to the Rambam, after one has eaten kesayis matzah, even if without a seba, his matzah obligation is fulfilled, it's pointless to eat more matzah with a seba because the additional matzah, not mitzvah matzah. In other words, he wants to say, according to the Rambam, you were yotzei the mitzvah ready. So eating with a seba is not going to do anything. That's the way the Briska Rav is saying. Therefore, according to the Rambam, one fails to eat matzah while reclining, he forfeits the mitzvah seba with respect to matzah. Now, the Briska Rav suggests an alternate understanding of Rabbi Shimon Levi's statement, which conforms with the Rambam's position. When Rabbi Shimon Levi says the shamash who eats a gezeis matzah reclining has discharged his obligation, he means to say that the servant has discharged his minimum his saber obligation. He's teaching the servant may eat the rest of his meal in a non-reclining position because he's busy serving, even though all others should eat the meal while reclining. In other words, so he's learning the pshat differently. In other words, it says the shamash who ate a gezeis matzah shumesiv is yotzei. It means he's yotzei the mitzvah his saber. And now he doesn't have to. He's on the call all the time. Contrast to the rush when it says Rishon Levi is saying Shabbos scars his matzah obligation only if he reclines. All right, now
is the servant always Jewish?
Here we're talking about a shamash who's Jewish. We're talking about a shomer Shabbos Jew who's a shamash. That's what we're talking about.
Right, because if a servant's not Jewish, he doesn't have to eat anything.
We're not talking about a non-Jew. We're talking about a Jew. Okay,
got it.
All right. All right. Any other questions? Okay.
What if his father is also his Rebbe?
That's what Tosfos says. Okay, let's take a look at Tosfos. So if you look at the last Tosfos, if they rabo ain't tzarich haseba, you know, before this, you know, I'll mention a story. I don't know if I remember all the details correctly, but what was his name? Reb Mordechai Gifter. So I don't remember his son. He had a son-in-law lived in Far Rockaway. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name as we speak right now. But the son-in-law wrote an article in the Jewish Observer, which is a magazine that is now doesn't exist anymore. But I remember he was a Talmud of Rav Gifter, and he would be at the Seder, and he wouldn't do a Seba. And then he became his son-in-law, and he asked his father-in-law if he still should not do a Seba. And the father-in-law said, no, I want you to still continue to stand straight and not to do his seva. I don't want you to lose the Rebbe Talmud relationship. Was, even though he was his son-in-law now, it was his son-in-law expected him to say, yeah, you're do a seva. He says, no. It was an interesting lesson. That it was, I want you to remember like what it means to be a Talmud. All right, let's see the last Tosfos, what Yosef asked. Then I got to run because we're running out of light time. They rabo in sricha seva. Nira daviva hu rabo nami ein sarich. So he says, let's say it's his father, who's also his Rebbe, also he shouldn't do his seba. In other words, he says, de lo gara me rabo acher. In other words, the fact that it's his father who's also his Rebbe, so at the end of the day, it's his Rebbe, and he should also, you know, just keep, you know, standing, sit erect. Miu stam av malamid v'no Torah, kidirminim perakam ad kiddushin, sheben yirei mi aviv yoter mi imo, mneishim lamdo Torah, v'fil haki kamar v'ni aviv, sorry, he says, but the emes is that every father does teach his son something, but if he's your Rebbe, then in a chinami, notwithstanding the fact that it's the father, you still shouldn't do a seba. Okay, I got to move on to the Gemara. We don't have time now. We got to cut it short. Okay, now, all right, the bottom line on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. Ba'amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Nashim Chayavot Ba'ar Ba'ar Kosar Olalo, that women are also obligated in these four cups on the top line on Kuf Chet Amud Beis, Sha'afena Yubo Toanes. They also were in this miracle. Again, I'm going to have to make this shorter because we're running out of time, but if you look at the top Tosfos, he says, so even though the mitzvah of Arba Koso is the mitzvah of rabbinic mitzvah, but still would be running by the same rules, so they wouldn't be chayav in it. But we have Hayubo Toanes, the next Tosfos. So Tosfos says there's two possibilities with Hayubo Toanes. So one possibility is they help bring about the miracle, and he brings that because of Nashim Tzadkaniyot, that our forebears were redeemed from Egypt. That's a also. But then he has a different shot that they were in the same sakana. They were in the same, you know, dangerous position that we were in, and so therefore they're chayav in it. Then at the end of the second Tosfos, he gets into the question, why don't we say by Sukkah, Afhena Yubo Toanes? In other words, Sukkah women are not obligated in the midst of Sukkah. Why don't we say that women were subject to the same persecution, and then Hashem, you know, he put us in sukkahs when we left Egypt. So he says, this Tosfos sounds like the that we don't apply the klal of Afhena Yubo Toanes on a mitzvah d'oraisa. We only apply it by a mitzvah d'rabanan. Now, there's a stira from a Tosfos in Megillah where Tosfos over there asks why does the Gemara need by matzah? The Gemara has a limud Then anybody who's subject to lav, not eating chametz, is subject to the mitzvah of matzah. So Tosfos says, why do we need that? When do we say afeinu yubotoneis? So Tosfos there answers that if you would say afeinu yubotoneis, it'd only be chayiv them on a drabbanan level, and this limud is chayiv on a deraisa level. But it sounds like that disagrees with this Tosfos. It sounds like okay. Let me go further in the Gemara now on the top line. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Arbat Kos Halalu, Tzrich Sheyehei Bahen, Kedei Mezigat Kos Yafeh. So I'm going to do the pshat the way Rashi has the pshat. To Rashi Rambam learns a different pshat. Rashi Rambam is based on a different gears than the Gemara. The Bisman Chazal, they would always dilute the wine. The wine was one part wine, three parts water. So if I have a revius, the revius is revius halog. So it's one quarter of that cup. A rova, revius, would be undiluted wine, and then three parts water. So every cup would be one part wine, three parts water. We think in the Havamina, according to Rashi, that Shmuel is saying for the four cups, I only need a rova revius. In other words, I only need a quarter of a revius for all four cups. So each cup would have a 16th of it. And then the Gemara is going to say that's not what he means. Okay? So that's what we think in the Havamina. And Shishmahem Kedem Zigat Kos Yafeh. It's going to come out the way Rashi learns. Kedem Zigat Kos Yafeh means the same thing as Revius. Okay? He says, Shtan Cha Yatsa. If a person drank the four cups undiluted, he's Yotzei, we will see. Shtan Bavar Achat Yatsa. If he has a Bavar Achat, Rashi learns means Bezeh. Well, not the way Rashi. The way Rashbam learns, he has one right after the other. One cup, two cups, three cups, four cups. He says, if he gave some of the wine to the members of his family, he's Yotzei, as long as he has Rov Revius. Okay, now the Gemara analyzes these halachot. So on line five, Shta'an Chayatza, so we said, this was the halacha Rabbi Yehuda quoted the name of Shmuel, that if I have it undiluted, I'm Yotzei the mitzvah. I'm a Rava, Yidei Yayin Yatza, Yidei Cheret Lo Yatza. So Rava says, I'm Yotzei, but I'm not 100% Yotzei. I'm Yotzei one aspect of the mitzvah. I'm Yotzei, Yidei Yayin, Yidei Cheret, and I'm a Yotzei. In other words, I did have four cups of wine, but I didn't have it like Bedera Cheres. In other words, he says, if you look at the Rashi, he says, Yidei Cheret Lo Yatza, Kolomar, Ein Zu Mitzvah Shlema. That's not a mitzvah. You know, the full mitzvah. It's similar, I think, like let's say a person would have four cups of grape juice on Leil Pesach. So again, so he's Yotzei Yidei Yayin, not Yotzei Yidei Cheres. In other words, he's having four cups of Borei Pir Gafen, but he's not having four cups with the alcoholic beverage. So he's not having the mitzvah in its entirety. Okay, now, Shta'an Bevad Achad, if he had it the way Rashbam learns, one cup, two cups, three cups, four cups, he's Yotzei. Rav Amar, Yidei Yayin Yatza, Yidei Arba Kosot Lo Yatza. Rav says he's only Yotzei Yidei Yayin. In other words, he's having like something to be Mesameach him on the regal, but he's not Yotzei the Arba Kosot. In other words, that's the way the post can bring down. In other words, to be fulfilled the mitzvah of Arba Kosot, I can't have one cup, two cups, three cups, four cups. It has to be on the Seder of the Haggadah. I have to have it in the context of the Haggadah. If he gave some of the wine to his sons and to the members of his household, he's Yotzei. Am Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'hu de'ishti ruba de'kasa. Provided he had rov kos, he had to have a rov kos in order to do that. And if you look at the Tosfos around the 20th wide line, ruba de'kasa ha'inukim lo lugmav k'depirash le'el umilach ha'kinsir l'shtot revi'it. In other words, he has lo lugmav means rov revi'us. He has rov revi'us. And there's a whole tumult among the postgame. Maybe we'll get to it. Let's say I have a cup which is larger than a revi'us. So do I have to have rove of that cup, or is enough to have rove revius? So we'll see. The Al-Sada Yoter Tov, you want to have rove of the larger cup. In other words, it comes out on for the Seder, you don't want to have too small a cup. You want to make sure your cup holds enough for revius. You don't have too large a cup, because too large a cup, you have to drink, unless you're willing to do it, you have to drink much more wine. All right, let's see further, but I want to make sure we get through the Gemara. All right, now we're around 10 lines down. Mefe, we ask a kasha from the following brisa. Now, these four cups, they have to have kidei revi'it. So we assume, the way Rashi is assuming, in other words, for four cups, I need a revius of undiluted wine. In other words, four cups, I need one, in other words, like the equivalent of one cup undiluted. So it's a quarter of each cup would be undiluted wine. echad chai v'echad mazug, whether it's undiluted wine or it's diluted wine, I'm yotze the mitzvah. Echad chadash v'echad yesham, whether it's new wine or old wine. Rabbi Yehuda omer asruch shehebo tam umar yayin. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to have the taste and look like wine, and so he's cholik with this idea of echad chadash v'echad yeshan, that the new wine, you know, may not have the taste of wine, and the way the Rashbam learns, maybe the old wine doesn't have the taste of wine. Ketani miad k'dei revi'it, but we're focusing on this brisa says I have to have a revi'is. A revi'is is a quarter of a log. I'm just going to say, let's say for discussion purposes, let's assume it's 5 fluid ounces. So I have to have 5 fluid ounces for all 4 cups. He says, "V'ad ami kos yafe," and yet you said earlier that that you just needed. I'm sorry, I didn't say something right. I mean, k'dei revi'is, right. So it is right. So in other words, I need a revi'is of wine for all 4 cups. 1 complete revi'is of wine, undiluted, for all 4 cups. But amri kos yafe. And earlier, with Shmuel's statement, Shmuel said, "Srisha behen k'dei mezigat kos yafe." I just need an amount of undiluted wine, like that would be enough for 1 cup, and I'll spread it over the 4 cups. So Amri, idi v'idi chad shiurahu. So the Gemara says, no, that's what Shmuel meant. My k'dei mezigat kos yafe de ka'amar, l'chol chad v'chad, dehavidhu kulu revi'is. In other words, when he says k'dei mezigat kos yafe, he didn't mean like a quarter of a revi'is for all 4 cups. He meant a quarter of a revi'is for each cup. Okay, so again, the way Rashi is learning Pshat, in the Maskana, Shmuel is saying that I need 4 cups of wine, each cup is a revi'is. Revi'is is a revi'is halog. And again, what a revi'is is subject to a machloket poskim. So they quote, Ramosha has a shear. If it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanan Ramosha says it's 3.3 fluid ounces. If it's a mitzvah, Doraisa, it's 4.442 fluid ounces, according to Ramosha. So the first cup you have on a Friday night, and you could argue it's machloket, but even the first cup, it might be every yantiv. The first cup on a yantiv might be deraisa. So in which case, you'd have to have a cup that holds at least 4.42 fluid ounces. And then there's another shita. They have a cup, I think from the Chazon Ish, I think it's 5.07 fluid ounces, you know, to have that. So the so it means I have to have each cup to be at least that size. And then it has to be diluted. That's the way he's saying it. Okay, let me just go on. Running out of time. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sirisha Hebo Tamumare. Rabbi Yehuda says the wine has to have the taste of wine and the look of wine. So Amarava, my Tamad Rabbi Yehuda, the Chtiv Al Teri Yayin Kitadam. So it means, it is a pasuk in Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs, means like don't look, in other words, don't, like you're in, like chasam, you're an alcoholic, you know, don't look at red wine. Red wine is like it's too seducing to you. So you see that red wine is the best wine. So ideally speaking, that's what the post can bring down. You should have red wine on the night of the Seder. If you can have red wine, is preferable, unless there were times in our history, unfortunately, Jews were accused of blood libel, and in which case they didn't want to have the red wine. But otherwise, you want to have red wine on the Seder. Okay, now, and it also has to have the taste of wine, and it means, again, so you want to have wine. So sometimes people, wine bothers some people. If you mix the wine with grape juice, it's better than having grape juice by itself. You mix the wine with the grape juice, so it's got the tam of yayin and the mar yayin. In other words, you could, that's one way to handle it. And the idea is that it has to have the taste, because we're talking about wine that would intoxicate. Okay, now Tan Rabbanan, Hakul Chayvim Ba'arba Kosalalu. Everybody's chayv in these 4 cups. Echad Anashim V'Echad Anashim, men and women, Echad Tinokot, and children as well. Amr Yehuda V'Chimatu El Yesh Tinokot B'Yayin. Rabbi says, why should what does wine have to do with the kids? How is it going to help them having wine? Ela mechalkin lahen, on the top line on Kuf Tedem and Aleph, mechalkin lahen klayot ve'egos in be'erev Pesach. We give them, like, means like dried grain, or, you know, what does he say, parched grain and nuts, be'erev Pesach, k'dei shlo yishnu v'yishalu. So they don't sleep, and they'll ask questions. So it could be, this erev Pesach, it might be the night of Pesach, either eating it'll keep them awake, or they'll be excited, say, how come we're getting all these treats tonight? He says, Amru alav al Rabbi Akiva, shemachalik klayot ve'egozim l'tinokot be'erev Pesach, k'dei shlo yishnu v'yishalu. He would give the kids these klayot ve'egozim, so he wouldn't sleep and they'd ask questions. Tani Reb Lezer Omer, chotfin matzah, or he's got matzot, or it might be mitzvot, but chofin matzah, the way the Bach corrects it, b'leid le'pesach, and we grab matzahs on the night of Pesach, b'shvil tino koch lo yishnum, so the kids don't go to sleep. Now, well, I'll do this quickly, though, but there's a lot of pshatim. What does it mean, chofin matzah, b'leid le'pesachim? So if you look at the Rashbam, and maybe we'll do a little bit more of this tomorrow, the Rashbam is like 15 lines down, midway down in the narrow column. Chofin matzma bein et ha-ka'ara b'shvil tinokot shishalu. So some want to say it means you lift up like the Seder plate after the Manashtana. We lift it up, we take it away, something like that. He said the kids don't. So chofin matzma, he says, v'it mefarshi chofin matzma ochlin maher. And some want to say chofin matzma means that we eat quickly so the kids will still be awake and they can hear the whole Seder. He says, that's the Rashi has. Some say chotfin, not matzot, but mitzvot. We grab the mitzvot. I mean, the Seder plate, you have, and it assumes like, you know, like they have these Seder plates that have the matz on top, and the Seder, in other words, sometimes the Seder plate has got the matzahs underneath it, and the Seder plate on top, and you lift it off the table. So the Rashbam says, I think the pshat is we grab away like the food from the tinokot. In other words, we don't let them, if they eat a lot, they'll get sleepy. People get sleepy when they eat. So we grab away the chofin matzahs, and we grab the food away from the kids so they remain hungry. He says, three lines above where it gets medium, where it gets wide, he says, "Lo yishnu v'yishalu." Kolomar lo yishnu shlo achlu k'dei savan v'shluk shiru shinum. The last questions. Okay, that's the basic idea. Okay, now let's go back on the Gemara. I want to do a few lines. That'll be it. So, so Tani, you know, I saw, who is it? Rav Shlomo Salman Auerbach, right? Yeah, in the, 1 second. Yeah, in the Sefer Halichot Shlomo, here I have Halichot Shlomo, but in the Halichot Shlomo, he says, I think he said he didn't like it that people referred to stealing the matzah, you know, like chofin matzah, like steal the afikoman. He didn't like that expression, stealing it. In other words, I think I saw it there. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says here, chotfin matzah or matzot or mitzvot, but lay the psachim shulton shishnu. Tanya amulav Rabbi Akiva mimavlo amar higia eight lamod bina medrash. Rabbi Akiva would never say it's time, we got to wrap up shop today in the base medrash. Chutmi arvei psachim erev yom kippurim, except for erev Pesach and erev Yom Kippur, he would say it's time to go home. He says, but arvei psachim mishul tinakot kadesh lo yishnu, on arvei psachim for the kids they shouldn't sleep. So either it means, That one way to say is that you'll be home, you'll be able to begin the Seder promptly, so they won't sleep. The other way would be you'll go home and you put them to sleep now, and you wake them up later. They'll take a daytime nap. He says, "Ve'erev Yom Kippurim k'deishachilu b'neim," and Erev Yom Kippur that they'll feed the kids. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far in the last 20-30 minutes? Any questions? Any comments? Any thoughts? Okay, I think that's it for tonight. Let me end the recording. Let's see what we got.